And now the game where we ask interesting people about things they're just not interested in. It's called Not My Job. Patrick Fitzgerald is the United States Attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, and he's been responsible for a number of high-profile prosecutions, including the convictions of former Illinois Governor George Ryan and, just last week, former press baron Conrad Black. And he did all this while zipping back and forth to Washington, where he won a conviction against Scooter Libby in the case arising from the Valerie plane leak. Now, Mr. Fitzgerald does not make many public statements about his work or his life, so we are proud and somewhat amazed to welcome Chicago's own Patrick Fitzgerald to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So it's great to have you here.
Thanks.
So who leaked Valerie Plame's name? Come on. No, I know, you're not going to say. You're not going to say. My first question...
Do you think you're going to catch him off balance on that?
No.
I wasn't expecting that.
We know that you can't and would even prefer not to speak about your work, but I have to ask you one question. What in the world are you doing here? Because you don't actually do a lot of press, but you're here. We're delighted, but what made you decide to join us?
Literally, I was trying to get tickets to the show. I got them.
You got them?
Yeah.
So,
but I've been asking myself that question recently.
I imagine. All of a sudden, it's
very
like,
recently.
What am I doing here? Can you rethink it? So you live in the city here in Chicago.
Yes.
You moved here from New York.
Yes.
And you like it here.
A lot.
You live in the North Side, I'm told. Out there in
generally.
One of our neighborhoods. And you work downtown.
Yes.
Right. So let me ask you, how do you feel about commuting?
I don't mind driving.
No, no. There you go. slightly more seriously, you have been involved in some very high-profile cases. And because of that, people have said things about you. And I know from previous statements that you don't respond to the various accusations or characterizations, but does it bother you ever, you know, to turn on the TV and see people who don't know you saying things about you?
Less than you think. If you feel comfortable that you work with people and you make a common judgment and you rely upon a lot of other people who make a judgment as to what to do, if you feel comfortable you've done it, then you're going to get credit and blame for things you shouldn't get credit for and blame you shouldn't get blamed for. You just accept it.
That's remarkably accepting. I mean, I couldn't do it. I'd be calling up those guys on Fox News and Friends and yelling back, I guess, if it were up to me. Your background is, shall we say, not the same as many of your defendants. You grew up in Flatbush in Brooklyn.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, you're son of a doorman, and you worked as one yourself for a while.
Yes.
Is that how you put yourself through college, the doorman job?
I worked more as a janitor. I did a summer as a doorman, and I think being a janitor is easier.
You just really?
Mop the floor, and you don't have to worry about people being weird. Which tenants and buildings can be weird.
Did working as a doorman sort of maybe help you eventually deal with abuse from wealthy people who don't know you?
It was an interesting experience. It was fun. But you had people calling up on the 4th of July complaining about fireworks. And you're the doorman. Asking you to stop them. And you said yes, and you hung up.
You have a reputation as being a workaholic. Is this fair, do you think?
No, I think it's exaggerated.
You do?
Yes.
Well, let's face it. If you're prosecuting Conrad Black here in Chicago, George Ryan here in Chicago, a massive mafia case here in Chicago, and you're pursuing the Scooter Libby case as a special prosecutor, clearly you're not taking a lot of time to flip through the cable channels.
There's 140 attorneys in the office, and there's 300 staff, and so I get a lot of credit for what other people do, and people think I do a lot more than I
do. All right, I understand.
But keep that between us.
Your testimony, sir, is that you're not a workaholic. All right.
Okay.
Let me ask you then.
And he has prepared an extensive brief detailing.
I know.
The ways in which he is not a workaholic.
Let me ask you then. Describe some of the things you do with your capacious leisure time then. If you will, for the court.
I like to run.
You like to run. You're a runner.
Yes.
You're not actually pursuing felons when you're doing this.
No. Purely a... No one in front of me.
No one in front of you. You're just running. Okay, so you run.
Except other runners who are faster.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So you run.
Yes.
We heard a story about you. We were looking around, seeing what we could find about you, and we heard a story that once you were challenged, either by your own conscience or by friends, that you never cook at home because you're always so busy. And the story is that you said, well, I'm going to make a lasagna. And you took the lasagna, and you made it, and you put it in the oven, and then somebody committed a crime somewhere or something, and you had to go take care of it, and you forgot about the lasagna for 3 months. Mm.
With the oven on?
Is that story true?
I made 6 lasagnas at once.
Okay.
Because it was the first time I made lasagna, so I wanted to be efficient.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, man.
And I ate a little of the lasagna.
Yeah.
And then no crime happened. I just forgot about it. And 3 months later, I thought about, you know, I don't remember taking that tray of lasagna, the last one, out of the oven. And it was still there. And I didn't taste it.
Okay. So.
Wait, Peter, I have to ask a question because you're being really delicate here.
Uh-oh.
Well, before you were a very special prosecutor, you were the Washington Post's very special prosecutor. And all these girls were madly in love with you, are madly in love with you. And then I think people said you were one of the sexiest ever men. Is that correct?
That would not just be people like people in the street, that would be People Magazine.
So I want to know, have you gotten marriage proposals and letters from people that you've never met stalking you?
What's this in your notes here, Roxanne?
I mean, over and over again, Mrs. Roxanne Fitzgerald.
So you're a single guy. I want to know what effect this has had on your personal life.
It means I get email from my college roommates making fun of me constantly about how you make People Magazine. There were 6 guys in the room group, and you came in 7th in the room group. It's a they're trying to figure out where they fit in. So it's mostly abuse. Mostly abuse.
Before we play the quiz, we have one more question for you. When our colleagues at NPR learned that you were going to be in the show this week, one of them in particular, not very pleased, Nina Totenberg, our legal correspondent, she had one question she's dying to ask you. Here she is.
Fitzgerald, what are you doing at Millennium Park? I sat through the Libby trial for 2 months. I'm the person who gave up paid speaking engagements so I could go to your lousy trial and not see Dick Cheney testify. And now you're giving an interview to these jerks?
I thought if I went for 3 for 3 to the quiz, I'd get Nina Totenberg on my voice.
There you go. I have a feeling I think Nina would do that for another movie. Well, Patrick Fitzgerald, we have asked you here to play a game we are calling...
We are so not going to ask you any questions about Scooter Libby.
You probably know more about Scooter Libby than any person alive, including Scooter Libby and his mother, even more than Dick Cheney. So we are not going to ask you about him, no. This is called Not My Job. So we have 3 questions about other things entirely. Answer 2 out of 3 of the questions, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Get 1 or none right, you'll lose. But if that seems overly harsh, I'm sure the president will step in. Carl, for whom is U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald playing?
Peter, he is playing for Bud Wilson of Elgin, Illinois.
All right, the first question, not about Scooter Libby. The Segway scooter. This computerized two-wheeled personal transporter was supposed to transform our economy and the way cities are designed. Instead, it has become, at least in terms of what it does for your image, a $5,000 spinning propeller beanie. But the Segway is not done yet. Even as we speak, engineers out there somewhere are trying to do what with it? A, turn one upside down, attach a bucket of baseballs to the top, and make a reliable and self-righting pitching machine. B, equip them with remote control and a camera so stores can use it to deliver groceries and pizza. Or C, mount guns and robot brains on them and send them into battle.
I think I'll go with C.
You're going to go with C?
Yes.
The Segway Warriors.
Yes.
You're right. The Warrior Segway could happen if a project sponsored by the Defense Department called the Segway Robotic Mobility Platform ever comes to fruition. Very good. Your next question. The stage manager on The Muppet Show was, of course, Scooter the Muppet. And unlike other Muppets, Scooter wasn't quite a monster, wasn't quite human. In an insider account of the Muppets, what did Scooter himself say about his own parentage? Was it A, his mother was a parrot, and he has no idea what his father was? Mm-hmm. B, he was a large potato who was given life magically when somebody gave him a pair of glasses with the eyeballs painted on them? Or C, he was the result of a single night of passion between Kermit and Janice, the hippie lead singer for Dr. Teeth's band?
Okay, I'm off of C.
You're off of C.
I'll go with B.
You're going to go with B, that yeah. He was a potato. They put the glasses on him, and he came to life. No, he was the son of a parrot in an unidentified species, according to a book called Of Men and Muppets. So,
wow.
One Scooter right, one Scooter wrong. You've got one Scooter left. Last question. Phil Rizzuto, the Hall of Fame shortstop for the New York Yankees, was also known as Scooter. When he retired from the game, Rizzuto went on to spend decades with the Yankees as a broadcaster, even though he could be a little unpredictable during the games. For example, he was known for doing what? A, making personal phone calls, including a famous one to his gastroenterologist in front of a live mic. B, bolting from the broadcast booth and the stadium if there were loud thunderclaps, which scared him. Or C, occasionally saying, I have no idea what happened because I wasn't watching, when in fact he hadn't been watching.
I'll go with C.
You're going to go with C, that he said, I haven't. No, actually, it was B.
Oh, thunderclaps.
It was B. He would bolt from the stadium when there were thunderclaps, because he didn't like thunderclaps.
Who knew?
Who knew? Carl, how did U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald do in our quiz?
Peter, he needed at least two correct answers to win for Bud Wilson, but he had just one correct answer.
Now, I am being told by our producers that an appeal has been filed. And what I am told by our producers is that it is in fact true that Phil Rizzuto used to occasionally put on his scorecard the notation WW, which meant wasn't watching. So by that virtue, Carl, I don't know how to put this. Do you think we should commute a sentence?
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. It's only fair. So, what does that mean?
That means Bud Wilson gets a voice message on his telephone from me.
Congratulations. Patrick Fitzgerald is the U.S. attorney representing the Northern District of Illinois. He has successfully prosecuted cases against governors, mobsters, media bigwigs, and, of course, White House insiders with odd nicknames. Patrick Fitzgerald, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.